now back to Steiny and Guru. Take it away, Steiny.
Hey, Guru, I got this guy's resume in front of me, but if I read it all, we'll never get to the end.
He's a big boy.
So, joining us is Bob Fitzgerald. Six times he's worked the Olympics. He'll be doing Olympic men's basketball this year. He's done the Warriors for 31 years. He's done the NFL. He's done college football. I don't see it on my resume list, but I think he did the Sabercats. What haven't you done, Fitz?
Oh, man, not even to mention 29 years at KMBR. That hurts.
Ouch! Ouch! Well, he came in and stuck it to us.
Only there longer than anyone else in the history of the station.
Look at him. Bob Fitzgerald joining us on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, baby?
Fitz. Yeah. Seriously, what are you? How you feeling about going to Paris and doing the men's basketball and all that stuff? It's pretty special.
Well, I mean, the cool thing is, and we'll find out in a couple of days if Luka Doncic is going to try to play for Slovenia, but, you know, I love the U.S. team, obviously with Steve Kerr coaching and Steph's first Olympics. But you look at Germany won the World Cup, so you got Mo and Franz Wagner and Daniel Theiss, and, you know, Germany has become a good team. But France is going to have Wembanyama and Gobert, and there's no three-second defense. You can play zone. How do you score over those two guys if they're just standing in the lane the whole time? And, you know, France, that'll be their home country. Then you've got Lithuania, it's going to have Valanciunas and Sabonis playing together. I mean, this is going to be about size. And so for the U.S., they're the most talented team. But in Tokyo, it came down to the United States and France. In London, I was calling the gold medal game. It was, you know, Spain and the United States. So these guys don't get paid for this. It's all for representing all of us in terms of the United States. And if you lose, it's a disaster. And if you win, it's like, they were supposed to win. Mm-hmm. So it's like the ultimate pressure, and going to be a super fun tournament all the way around.
Yeah, no doubt, Fitz. My question, and I'm so excited to talk to you, is we love you in the Bay. You've done this before, but it's a different audience. Do you get nervous? Do you go at, you know, the daily operations different, getting ready for a game? Walk us through that, or is it kind of, no, goo is the same as I do if I were doing a Warrior game?
No, I mean, the thing is, I mean, I'm so fortunate from NBC. I mean, this will be Olympics number six, but initially I did swimming, which, you know, wasn't a sport I knew anything about. Then I did water polo, and both the men and women of the United States played for the gold medal in Beijing. I had Bob Costas throwing it to me, and it's like, oh, my God, like, this is
wow.
The biggest of big time here. And you worried about, first of all, the pronunciations, because you're the English-speaking broadcast to the world.
Mm.
So, you know, if someone's watching in Croatia or Ecuador or whatever, you've got to know the history and the backstory of these players, and you have to pronounce their names correctly. So that's the first thing you go through. But, no, I mean, the difference is with the Warriors, I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
Mm.
So when Steph hits a three, it's a lot different than James Harden hitting a three. You know, and so you hear this, and this is where I think – they use this the wrong word. People go, well, you know, Krook and Kipe or Bill King or Fitz, they're homers. Yes, we are. Yes, this is the home squad. These are my home boys. Like, absolutely. But when you're doing a national broadcast, it's much more down the middle because emotionally you're not as invested and you're just doing it more as a broadcaster and just technique and stuff like that.
Wow. Bob Fitzgerald joining us on 95.7 The Game. the Olympics start July 26th. I am curious, what is it, June 18th? Like, how much have you prepared, if at all, and how much will you prepare for doing all these games? And by the end of it, will you be able to basically name the top seven guys from every country on every team?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I was so lucky, you know, to have done Tokyo, and I did men's and women's basketball in Tokyo. So, you know, there is a little bit of residual because that, with the COVID, that moved to 2021 instead of 2020. So we're 3 years ago, but a lot of the same main core people and strategies and things like that are the same. So, and I've got notes even from that Olympics. But no, I start getting ready. I mean, the beauty of YouTube now is if you're like, I want to watch the Croatian women's team, their World Cup game and the semifinals is on the internet and you can watch it. And so you can read and get ready on all the stats, but I think visually being able to watch a team play gives you a good idea. You know, the other team, too, and I'm waiting on Andrew Wiggins for this, look at Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Dylan Brooks and Wiggins and Lou Dort. I mean, this could be – and Canada's never really had an Olympic success basketball-wise, and they lost to Italy in the qualifying tournament, did not qualify for Tokyo. Canada has the most international players outside the United States in the NBA.
Is Jamal Murray playing?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's good knowledge there, Steiny. Yeah. I mean, it's the – so now that, like, Jokic is going to play for Serbia and Wembanyama and Gobert are going to play for France, like, Paris is a really attractive Olympics. So you're kind of hoping, hey, man, maybe everybody that matters for all these different countries are going to show up, and it could just be a knockdown, drag-out, super fun tournament.
Fitz, you don't know this, but I consider you my Warriors therapist because you know I love hard. And I'm being real with you. Don't judge me. I just periodically throughout these last couple of weeks and months, I keep watching the Warrior playing game against Zach, and each time Fitz, I'm more worried about the team. But then I sleep well because I say, you know what? Had Draymond not got suspended, this team wouldn't have been a 10th seed. And if they don't go big game hunting and Klay comes back, because I'm rooting for Klay to stay, maybe this team would have had a different outcome. What do you say to that?
Well, Guru, you and I like share the same half of the medallion that we wear around our necks because, I mean, Draymond Green missed 27 games, and the Warriors still won 46 games and won 25 games on the road. You're not going to tell me that this wasn't a 53 or 54 win team if Draymond played some of those 27 games. So where would 52 wins got you? It would have got you the 4 seed. You would have had a home court advantage in round one.
Yes.
Dallas won 50 games. They went to the finals. So Boston was better than everybody this year. Okay, they won 64. They were the best team all year. They deserved it. They won the title. But you could throw a dart on 7 other teams starting next year. Could Minnesota get hot? I did the Western Conference Finals with ESPN Radio, saw Minnesota up close with Dallas. Like, could Minnesota get hot? Sure. Could Oklahoma City get hot? Sure. Did Denver blow a 20-point lead at home in Game 7? That's shocker to me because I think Denver's amazing. Could Milwaukee get everything going again with Giannis? Of course they could. But so could the Warriors.
Man.
So could the Warriors. Like, how many teams, when you start looking, Boston has 6 really good players, but if you have Steph and Klay and Draymond and Kuminga and Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis and Moses Moody, like, you have so many good players already that I don't – this whole, like, oh, the Warriors are done and they need to trade 17 dudes and change their whole roster. Like, no, they can't have Draymond miss 27 games. Just like Jokic couldn't miss 27 games or Giannis couldn't miss 27 games or Luka couldn't miss 27 games. The NBA, if your best players play a lot of games, you'll get the max results for your team. Last year, the Warriors had one of their absolute core pieces, indispensable guys, miss 27 games. And I think if you look at the last part of the season when Trace and Draymond started together, they're top 10 in defense. Oh, wait, they're top 10 in offense. They start winning games. I'm very excited about where the Warriors are going because I know Kuminga will be better. I know Brandon will be better. I know Trace will be better. I know Moses will be better.
I love it.
So, so to me, this whole, the Warriors need to trade half their roster, I don't buy it at all. I just don't.
No.
Steiny!
No respectable host would ever invite a guest into his house and then try to pick a fight with him. So I'm not going to try to pick a fight with Bob Fitzgerald right now. It's we got him on to be our guest.
Wow.
And he is presenting his views. Hey, Bob, I got to ask you, and one of the reasons we also brought you on is because, you're familiar with the Bay Area, and the San Francisco Giants right now, they've added a third wild card. They're a 500 team. They've been a little banged up. And last night, they won a game against the Chicago Cubs. Very exciting. And I've been in this Bay Area for 35 years. I just don't feel the buzz, the excitement about the San Francisco Giants. Is it out there and I'm missing it? Or do they have to do something to create that special feeling that we've had over the years at times with the 49ers, Giants, and Warriors?
No, I think Matt, you're hitting on something that's interesting about sports nowadays, is that everything is so transitory that when you really love a team, and I'll go back to, hey, look at Will Clark coming up in his first at bat against Nolan Ryan, and oh, it's Will Clark and Robbie Thompson, and oh, we got Kevin Mitchell and Hackman, Jeffrey Leonard, and then you go, oh, we've got Buster Posey, and we got Brandon Crawford, and we got Brian Wilson, and you know, we got Lincecum and Mad Bum. You got to have some stability and some identity to know the narrative of guys that they come along. You know, Joe Montana drafted out of Notre Dame, and they 81 Niners, and here they come. I was at Keena Turner's golf tournament yesterday, and here's all these old Niners, and I'm like, man, this is living history. Like, these are all the 49ers that have made this franchise so great. So when I look at the Warriors, too, like, oh, it's Steph and Clay and Draymond and Steve Kerr and Laker bought the team, and look at this narrative. Like, if you're in baseball, if it's rent-a-player, You didn't draft him. He didn't go through the minors. You don't remember his debut. It's, yes, you're spending money. Oh, I got this guy. Okay. And you're trading baseball cards all the time. I just don't know that fans can lock in on guys. Like, if the three of us went to a ball game, we're in the sports business. Who's our three guys that have our heart that are on the Giants right now?
Wow, man.
But, I mean, who are, I'm not saying these aren't good players. There are good players, but like, oh, here he comes, Conforto. Okay, where the hell was he the last couple? Like, it's hard. Like, the identity for me for the Giants right now is Kruk and Kipe.
Wow.
Like, what makes me feel good about the Giants is when I flip on Kruk and Kipe in the summer. Like, that's my identity right there. But so I'm hoping the younger guys, because they have younger, talented guys, become something like Logan Webb. Like, people, okay, Logan Webb, like, let's latch on to him. But baseball's 162 games, man, and you gotta have that team kind of become like your friends or people that you know their backstories. Oh, remember he struggled in April and May, and he's getting hot in June. But you know, the Giants, like, I watched the White Sox the other day. Jock Peterson's on Arizona. Like, oh damn, wasn't Jock Peterson a Dodger, and then he's with the Giants, and now he's at Arizona? Like, there's just a transitory nature now in sports that in baseball, if you're not friends with them or you're not locked into them, it's hard to feel the buzz that you're talking about.
Man, Fitz, that was profound, and I feel you. Hey, I want to sneak in a football question. I won't forget right after the Super Bowl, you popped on with us, and you were like, don't even put anybody there back for the punt return. Oh. Damn it, that's why you lost. But
I was talking to Fred Warner yesterday, and it's like hard to even, like, I just got a pain in my stomach when you mention the Super Bowl again.
So the operation is Kevin Costner revenge, right? But when I used to call your show back in the day, there was no internet, Bob. There was no IG. And I want Brandon Ayuk to remain a Niner. But when you see videos going around or circulating with him telling, you know, a quarterback in D.C., Jaden Daniels, they don't want me back, I don't know where to stop. And Stoney's trying to help me, like, that tells me the relationship is over. Or Fitz, when you see that, do you fall for it? Or what do you think about the Niners and Brandon Ayuk? Like, how can they step on the field Monday night against the Jets without his services?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we all know, because it's the last year of the Purdy peace accord. Yes. It's the last year that you don't have to pay Brock Purdy. See Trevor Lawrence's deal, and you're like, uh-oh, Purdy's getting $50 million a year, so this is the last year that they can spend. You gotta re-sign Brandon Ayuk. You got to. And I would say for everybody that's freaking out, didn't we go through this? Wasn't Debo mad at the world? And nobody, oh, Debo's gonna leave and he's upset. And Debo re-signed, yeah, came back in the greatest shape he's ever been, was sending ab pictures to Kyle Shanahan to show how ripped he was. There can be hard feelings in contract stuff. Money solves a lot of those hard feelings. But then the other thing is, dude, the Niners are ready. This is the year. This is the year. They're the best team in football. This is the time to get another Lombardi trophy, and let's debate where the parade's going to be between San Francisco and Santa Clara. Like, this is the year, because after this year, the financial stuff gets a lot crazier to try to keep all the band back together. So this is the year. And if they give Ayuk the money that he wants, they got it for this year. Maybe you're doing some horse trading, you know, down the road. But, nah, this is the year, man. You can't lose Brandon Ayuk. It's Brandon Ayuk and Debo and Kittle and Juszczyk and McCaffrey and now the kid Pearsall and third down Juwan Jennings. I mean, come on, man. This is the year for this team to win it.
Bob Fitzgerald joining us on 95.7 The Game. Before I let you go, Bob, obviously you've seen the entire career of Steph Curry. You hinted on a show a couple years ago that maybe you'll hang it up when Steph hangs it up. How big is this Olympic experience for him? And I mean, do you talk to him enough where he's told you, hey, it's the last thing that I want?
Well, I mean, you know, Steph and I, people know, we play golf and spend some time together, and that's kind of my guy. So, you know, one, excited about having Caius join the family and, you know, having a fourth Curry kid. He beat me. I got three kids. He's got four now. I'm done. Hopefully, I don't know if he is. That's between him and Aisha. The Olympics is important to him. You know, just like winning the MVP multiple times is important. Just like winning the finals MVP. Just like winning championships. Just like being the all-time three-point leader. Just like maybe playing on the senior PGA Tour. Right? Like,
right.
You know, the thing with Steph is he's so gifted and so skilled in life in so many ways. As a dad, a brother, a son, you know, a husband, that whatever, oh, you can't do this or you didn't do this or this is missing, he likes to check all those boxes. He loves the challenge. And so I think going with Steve and getting to play in his first Olympics and trying to get that gold medal, you know, that adds to a resume that is going to, we know he's already a Hall of Famer. It's just how long does he play and at the level that he plays. So I think it is important. And I think the summer worked out good. You know, they had the baby and, you know, he's got a little time off because the Warriors, you know, went out earlier than normal. And, you know, I think he'll be excited to be on that international stage, and he'll be sharp as hell getting ready to roll for a Warrior training camp and a good Warrior season.
Yeah, there we go, Bob.
My partner's worried about him being tired at training camp because he's going to the Olympics.
I feel better after talking to you, though. Go get him, Steph. Yeah.
Well, no, but the thing is, you guys know, because you got to keep it real and keep it right. If the Warriors will be one of 8-9 teams that have a shot to do damage next year, it all depends on health. It all depends on your war horses, if they decline a little bit or can maintain. But the NBA now, this year, proved it. Other than Boston, man, any team on any night in any series can get rolling. And that's just where we are in the league. The days of, oh, you're going to win 67 games or 73 games and you're just going to postage stamp everybody all the way through the playoffs, like, those days are over. And I think that's good. I think it's exciting for the league. But it does make people nervous because they were accustomed to six straight finals and four titles and all that kind of stuff. And that's all fair too. So, but to think the Warriors won't be interesting, won't be in the mix, won't be worth watching, won't be worth paying attention to. No. We're many years from that happening. That ain't happening anytime soon.
All right, Fitz. Hey, we'll be watching and listening.
Take it easy, man.
In the Olympics.
Hey, love you guys.
Fun.
Anytime you need me, you know the number.
Yes, sir.
Love it.
That's Bob Fitzgerald.
Wow. Enrique Rivera
the
on the chat goes, Steiny, please ask him about the Warrior championship team. I'm like, dude, you didn't hear. I think we got the answer.
He
thinks they got major action.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord
of the freaking Rings.
Dude, man, it ain't over to him, Steiny.
I'm going to say it. That's the incomparable Bob Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
that was all time.
Medallion.
That was all time.
That was all time.
It was all time. I have one.
But also, did you hear the five he dropped?
Well,
the Purdy Peace Accord?
That was the one. That was the one. And now that's so good, we're going to have to source that.
Yes, sir. Oh,
that
man.
Was good. The Purdy Peace Accord will be coming to an end.
You don't want going anywhere, man. I get it, Steiny. It'll be interesting. And for all the people in the back, and Fitz is one of them, Steiny, hey, Debo did this. But it wasn't eight other guys in his position getting paid. Bosa did it, but man, I'm ready for the Warriors. Nothing to see here. It's all good.
Oh yeah, they're fine.
27 Draymond missed. 27 games.
Yeah, and he'll play 82 next year. Yeah. Oh, if you don't
that
know,
was great.
Fits in my relationship. It's a great one. I'm not using this show to disagree with him. We'll disagree plenty when we see each other face to face. It's his forum. That's why we got him on.
And he's golfing
and
with Steph.
What's it called? There you go. Fodder for the masses.
Yep.
There you go, Warrior fans.
No, he meant that, though.
Of course he meant it.
Well, and of course, because he is calling men's basketball for the Olympics, we just spoke to the voice of America.
There you go. I love it, man. That was great.
Oh, he was on the money with the Giants, though, I think, when he said the face of the franchise is Kuk and Kipe.
Man.
Ouch.
And how many times have we done that activity? Stoney, who's the face of the Giants? Evan, who's the face of... Like, that is a big deal.
See, the difference between Fitz and myself is he says we're many, many years from this team not being interesting. And I think, hey, Bob, we could be right around the corner from you being the face of the Warriors.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I'm kind of. Dude, that was some dope. He was ready.
That's why we have him on.
Yeah.
How can you let Fitz talk? That's why we have Fitz on.
But I'm the one that said the Nuggets were a dynasty. But they're good enough to be right. Like, that's what scares me, Fitz, about the Warriors. You don't got a Celtic problem. Denver owns you. So, you know, they're still in the West. Like,
I mean, one thing we could do is we could replay that one epic cut of Fitz with me saying no every time I disagree with one of his things. Is there anybody out there that thinks the Warriors weren't a 53-win team if Draymond... Me.
I got you.
You know, it'd be fun. Anyway.
You would be Mutombo. No.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll just end it.
But that Giant one, that's a big
deal.
No doubt. And whose responsibility is that? The guy that's been here for as long as... It's Farhan, Stiney.
Well, here's one thing I was thinking about. And we're going to do this with the Warriors down the line. We're going to talk about their championship teams and why a team we're watching 5 years from now is or isn't interesting, or how they continue to be interesting. So when the Giants won three World Series
in 5 years,
like they were. Here's what I said to Evan. Well, part of the Giants, the reason there was a ton of interest is, you know, they had Lincecum. They had Kane. They had Bumgarner. Oh, they had these pitchers. Well, Logan Webb is in that group. Like, Logan Webb is as good as those guys.
But unfortunately,
obviously, not like, but whatever.
Have the Posies or Crawfords around him. He's a one-off.
Okay, but why isn't he then, hands down, by far, the guy that everybody associates with the Giants? Like, who do you think of when you think of the Giants? Why aren't we saying Logan Webb? Logan Webb, he's been here longer than most players, and it's a Cy Young.
But it doesn't resonate for me because when you think
of... Because he's boring.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
he's not an everyday player. Like, when you think of the Yankees era was Jeter. Now, give me a Yankee starter. I know you can't.
The most popular player on the Giants during their run was Tim Lincecum. He was a pitcher.
I can't argue that. He was a freak. That was his nickname.
Right.
But you had Posies and Crawfords and Belts to go along with that, Stiney, and that means something.
Right. What?
The Giants, Webb has been phenomenal. It's almost
so Webb
sad.
Should be, Webb should be even more popular because he's the best player on a ho-hum team.
Like, but he's there once every 5 days.
How about if I put it this way?
How about if I put it this way?
He's not as popular as Monte Ellis was. When the Warriors weren't winning any games.
I would argue baseball against basketball now, you know, in that sense. Like, he's doing all that he can, and I hope I'm not trying to tell you I'm stripping something from him, but they haven't won. They went to the playoffs and won 107. Outside of that, Logan needs more Logans is what I'm saying. So when Lincecum had Kane.
Logan's boring. Like, he's just not.
Wow.
He's not a dynamic player.
So you're okay with giving that crown to a guy that you see once every 5 days as opposed to, hey, Susan, let's get the kids, let's go. We're going to see a guy. If we want to go every day of the week, we're going to see Ramos. He's in there every day. I think there's something to that for me.
I'm just telling you.
To where the pitcher just gets the ball once every 5 days.
Okay, and you're probably right. There's something to that, but I'm just telling you, the one athlete in baseball who captured the imagination of this town more than anybody else was a pitcher.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I'm not arguing that.
You know who else was in the top five? Like, a relief pitcher, Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I do think, I'm not saying I've come to some grand conclusion, but winning's not enough here. You got to have, it's got to be winning with pizzazz. Otherwise, I'm not sure fans are going
to
come out.
Well, they got to do the winning part, then get to the pizzazz. You know, Ramos has pizzazz, Donnie.
Well, then why aren't we head over heels?
He's still going, but he's still a baby, Donnie.
But, like, that's the thing. If Luciano were doing this, we'd be like, oh, my God, oh, my God. It's like, what do you want? Like, it doesn't feel like Ramos is good enough. It doesn't feel like Webb's good enough. Yes. Well, they're not exciting enough. 888-957-9570 is the number. Feel free to jump in. Anything Fitz say got you revved up? Or what's it going to take for the Giants to capture some excitement? Is it going to... I think I know the answer. It's going to be about an 8-10 game winning streak. That feels
it's
like
bigger than winning, though. Fitz has me thinking now it's
it
about
might be.
How the family aspect component of your stars.
That's...
That feel like family. Like we seen Clay, Dre, and Steph grow up in front of our eyes.
Yeah. And we're seeing Logan Webb grow up in front of our eyes. That segment was sponsored by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Guru, you and I like share the same half of the medallion that we wear around our neck.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
The Medallion Boys! By the way, download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. If you just joined us, it was an all-timer. It was an all-time interview with Bob Fitzgerald at 11 o'clock.
He was in a zone.
If you want to feel good about the Golden State Warriors and the Bay Area sports scene, I would highly advise you to go to the Odyssey app and download the interview with Fitz. Because let me tell you something. We are clearly on the cusp of the Giants making a big-time run to the World Series. We are right on the edge, the precipice of the Warriors' fifth title in the past 11 years. And there's no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen, our San Francisco 49ers are winning the Super Bowl this year.
Well, first you got to keep IU.
Oh,
yeah. Monte chimed. He said Fitz was legendary.
It was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
But the one on the Giants, I can't shake about. They're faceless right now, excluding
Science
Logan
matters.
Webb. Logan Webb, man. That's all. And the guy Farhan has had more than 2 years, Donnie. He's had more than three. He's had more than 4 years to kind of replenish that. And right now, maybe that is the answer to your question on Goo. It just doesn't feel like it's hitting Giants baseball right now. And there's some things that you're wrong. You know, Ramos, Steiny, I can't wait to watch him.
You're missing my point on Ramos. I'm not saying he's not exciting.
Okay.
I'm saying he's come up to the big leagues and put a stamp on something early, and there should be more excitement for Ramos.
Mm.
There should be. We've been clamoring for a guy like Ramos. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Okay, who's the biggest Giants fan in our building? Fan.
Shasky. Monte. Evan. Lubman.
Lubman.
Okay.
Lubman. Lubman's
we
out.
We got like six of them, yeah.
Well, I'm going with Sam because he goes to games more than anybody else. And he...
No kids.
He's...
Yeah. No, I'm saying, Donnie, Evan, thank you. It's hard, babe. Yeah.
Point is he's a monster Giants fan.
Okay, gotcha.
And I said, hey, Sam, let me ask you a question just in the hallway a second ago. Sam, ask me a question. Yeah, let me ask you. Sheriff Steiny. I was very polite. And I said, look, I know you're a hardcore Giants fan, and for the most part, you're going to be excited about the Giants because that's the kind of fan
but
you are.
But he's not a homer.
Right.
Okay.
I said, what's your excitement level right now for the San Francisco Giants? And he said, now this is Lubman, 6.5-ish. And I said, I would have expected 8 from Lubman. He said, well, you've got to take off 2 to 2.5 points because of Farhan Zaidi.
Wow.
And so then I said, wait a minute, why? Why does a general manager... How can a general manager take away from your excitement of the team? And he said, well, I just feel like he waters down everything. And of course, you know me, I said, what does that mean? He waters down everything. And basically what Lubman said is, as long as Farhan's there, I don't feel like we're going to be able to, we're building anything sustainable.
Wow, man.
We know how he's going to go about his business. We're not crazy about how he goes about his business. And Farhan, and I'm blown away. I really am.
And that's heavy, but I'll say this. Obviously, with no boppers or no Aaron Judges or Bryce Harper, and obviously every team and fan base would want to have that type of guy or those type of guys to root for. I guess, Donnie, we live because I'm such a fan. The 6.5 is real. It's because there's nothing that you see where you feel like, you know what, this is a superstar. But I guess I would like you to follow up question would be, are the Giants appointment TV for you?
Hell no.
No, but they are for the diehards. They're
right.
Watching regardless. But the excitement is like, I'm watching this, but it's not thrilling. But they're watching. And
the
that's
hardcores.
The art of a fan.
Yeah, the casuals aren't. Mm. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Again, I might be wrong. Maybe there's excitement brewing about this team that I'm oblivious to.
Well, and if I am, fine. Under 500.
Right.
And they've had 11 chances this season to get to 500. And you know what? They're 1-9. And they got a chance tonight. So they're 1-9 would get, but people will be like, I don't care about 500, but they're 1 under. And every time you think they're getting some traction, either a hammy goes out, somebody falls in the gym or whatnot. But you would like to see Webb on the bump tonight. And I know what you're saying, Goo, even if they win tonight, that's not, they're okay, they're 500, but they got to get healthy and then hopefully start winning some games.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's jump out to, let's go to Richie. Richie's in Queens. Haven't talked to Richie in a while. What's up, Richie? How you doing, man? Richie. All right, do you want to take Austin? Let's go to Austin. Austin's in Redwood City. What's up, Austin? How you doing, man?
Hey, nothing much. I'm just sitting here chilling, listening to you guys. From the last call that I was on, I was just thinking, we ain't going to be no time good, no time soon, as long as we have Farhan on our team. But I want to say this. Remember when we had Lincecum bringing swag to the team, the long hair coming out with his theme song? We had Brian Wilson coming out with the beer, his theme song. Paul Sandoval with his little thing with the polo bear and all that. And we had swag. The Giants players gave us something. They gave us something in return. We gave them extra energy cheering them on with that. We don't got none of that with Farhan and the team that we got now. The last piece we had was Brandon Crawford with that little swag and his defense and all that. We don't got none of that. So until then, we find some swag because this stale team that we got, these players that we got on our team this year are stale. They ain't fun to watch. I don't like watching it. And until we get some swag, then I'm going to watch
it. Austin, real quick, what about Ramos? What about him? He's got some swag to me.
But is he giving it to the fans, though? So we can give that right back to them, so give them some extra energy? Because without them not giving us energy, how can we get that energy back to them?
Wow.
How can we buy into what they're trying to sell us?
How do you decipher that?
Thanks, Austin.
Is he giving it to the fans?
And actually, I've never heard that phrased like that, but I think he's absolutely right.
Like, how do we gauge that?
Well, we gauge it, and maybe it's unfair.
Because it's early for him, Ramos, but wow.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is,
if he keeps this up, though, I think that would take care of itself.
Not if he's not a showman.
And he's got to be a showman. Fired up, talking. I was like, man.
He's got to be a showman also, is what I'm saying. It's, or they gotta have more than one guy. They gotta have
a bunch of guys. You heard Fitz, yeah. And nothing at Conforto, but he's right. That's what this Darren Ruffs of the world. I mean,
what about him?
No, those are the type of guys that have, you know, been under Farhan even when they won 107 and it was platoon city left and right. You never have that guy. You know, that's Steiny.
The 510 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. The Giants are so boring. When's the next Amish Quilt Festival? In other words, what he's saying is he'd rather watch somebody sew a quilt.
Well, they're not proud. No.
Yeah.
First of all, get off the Amish.
You a big quilt guy?
Well,
I slept with no covers.
I went to college in Lancaster, the home of the Amish. So I am a monster fan of the Amish.
All right.
They still use horse and buggy.
Okay.
They don't, the diehards, they don't use electricity still.
Wow.
Amish can raise a barn in 4 hours. It is unbelievable. The Amish is what we should all strive to be. Mm. They live a life of simplicity, and it works for them. No TV. No social media.
I'm out. Yeah. I'm out.
They can cause traffic in Lancaster County, though. That's for sure.
I'm out.
Thank you, Spadone.
Like, if you're driving a horse and buggy, let's say in, Lititz, they won't, the cops won't say, hey, you got to get out. No, you got to wait. You got to just go 21 miles an hour or as fast as the horse can go.
Dude,
Joe.
I was in a, real quick here, Spadone, I was at an intersection yesterday going home. And there were like 20 geese, and we all had to, and they were just going slow, neck out like this, Tiny. It took about a good 4 minutes, but Donnie, I was just blowing the horn.
With a,
hurry up!
With a car.
Yeah, they were at the crosswalk. I was at the intersection.
Well, because there clearly wasn't a highway or a main.
So there was a lake over by the house.
Okay, yeah, you're in a little park area. Yeah. That's all I was asking. I'm not asking.
No, I was on the street.
Hey, who was in the car with you?
I was on Riverside Boulevard.
Does your family know?
No.
Was there anybody that shouldn't have been in there?
It was just,
when you couldn't get
out
of work,
you just want to get home and kick off your shoes, you know? And they're just necks out. I'm like, hurry up!
650 says, Steiny, do the Amish drink alcohol? Not the good ones.
We could cheat a little bit.
I mean,
reefer?
No, of course not.
Dude, that's boring. I love what. Come on, no. Live a little bit. No TV.
They raise barns, bro. That's fun.
Yeah. Depending on who you're asking.
They make spinning wheels. It's unbelievable. They can turn flax into a T-shirt.
Like, I couldn't go to any IG page right now that would be dedicated to them.
Not the real ones.
Okay.
Not the real Amish. Get this. So I'm back east in New Jersey last week, and we're down at the beach, and it's not really, I haven't flexed yet.
That was
yet.
A flex. So don't you had it right. Go ahead.
Oh, wait. Oh, really? New Jersey is now a flex.
The beach.
Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
I never said shore. I said beach,
and
if you noticed.
And the fact that you were saying you were on vacation is a flex, too, so it actually should have been another one. But anyway.
Do you know that in southern Jersey that there are roads where the speed limit was 45, they've dropped the speed limit to 30, and you know why?
No.
Turtle crossings.
Turtle. Good God.
I know you think I'm kidding.
Oh.
I'm not. When the turtles do their thing, whatever that thing is, they go from like the bay, they need to, they take a long walk.
Oh, no.
And they have to cross a road. And there are people that when it's that season, turtle crossing season, they go out at like 5:30 in the morning and make sure that nobody's speeding.
Oh, wow.
And they usher these turtles in a way across the road. I kid you not.
Yeah. That wouldn't work in the Bay.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
In the Bay, it would be a monster issue because
everybody drives fast.
Yes, but the liberals and the progressives would really get behind a turtle crossing. You know it,
I've never
I know
heard
it.
That.
Spadone, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. There are a lot of people in the Bay Area who would be in favor of, hey, if the turtles need to cross, they need to cross. Yeah. So that would be a nightmare.
It's bothering me. What is their job, the turtle? And the alligator. I saw alligator chop. I was like, what? Why do we need them? Like, what do they do?
Well, here's where our great listeners say, oh, Steiny, turtles eat bugs. They're great for the ecosystem.
That applies to damn near everything. They eat bugs, okay.
One thing I think they do is they eat algae. Mm. I don't know. Hey, is there a vet out there?
Well, sea turtles help obviously with like coral reefs and protecting them because they do eat like, but like land turtles, like tortoises. Yeah. I have no idea.
And like alligators, Bedoni.
Well, they're not because they're
no, but an alligator. What's its job? Species, yeah, what's it do?
What, the alligator?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because
it's bad news. As soon as
the alligator can eat you, the turtle can't.
Well,
I mean that's the difference.
I got you.
That's Richie's in. Richie, you got to be there this time. What's up, Richie in Queens?
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, buddy. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, you talked about the turtles. I am in Pennsylvania now. You also talked about the Amish. It's funny because I remember the Amish have really become a little bit on the liberal side. I remember it's about 20 years ago, I bought a beautiful rocking chair, and the guy had a computer, and that was like, 10 years before that was unheard of.
Yep.
And you know what else he told me? That he was going to go to a friend's house to watch the Jet game. He said, please don't mention that to anybody.
Oh, my God.
There are levels.
This guy was,
there are levels.
This guy was breaking all the rules, man.
Oh,
but,
boy.
Yeah. So I got the chair at half price, you know?
Right.
So,
that's good.
Hey, I watched that game last night. Came out of nowhere. I agree with you. I don't understand. Melvin sent him more than once using the VAR in stupid situations. Give him a bullpen session. You don't got to put him in a 10-run game. And to bring him back to 31 pitches, wow. And you know what the big part of that game, guys, was? That 2-0 pitch, that, you know, and I'm not one.
Everybody's
to go,
talking about
you know,
it.
I've been fighting with the umpires about, you know, you can't go electronic. You can't go robotic. But that 2-0 pitch was ball three.
Man.
That changed the whole at bat. The three turning points in that was obviously Solaz catches interference. And that kid at first base, I felt terrible. Two violation, clock violations, plus dropping the pop-up. You know, I mean, look, we don't have a lot. You brought up, where's the excitement? The excitement now is Ramos. I knew Estrada was going to come around. And you know what's funny about when you see a guy every day and you say Estrada was definitely struggling. He leads the league at second base with almost 40 ribbies. Ozzie Albies has got 5 homers and 33 ribbies. But you don't see Ozzie Albies like we see Estrada. So Wisely's done a good job. We obviously need, I talked to you a couple of weeks ago, our pitching now, these injuries, Harrison, it's catching up. We're going to get these guys back. But you know what? They are what they are, and they're one game below 500. Hopefully Webb gives them something tonight. I'm a little disenchanted with Chapman again. Chapman, he's late on 93. I don't get it. He's not consistently hitting the ball that hard. But
hey, Richie, appreciate the call. No, I mean, the bottom line is, what are we going to do? We're going to watch and see if a team that's one game under 500 can tonight get to 500 and then put 500 in the rearview mirror.
But the rat on the table brought to you by Atco, Stani, is damn, Logan Webb is just, he's the new version of Matt Cain. Give him some run support. You know, that's been a constant. Now, I will say this about a guy I've been beating up, Stani, and I got some chicken on. Solaire, he's walking and he's hitting the ball. So, I know it's warming up. But, I mean, man, they need him to be the bopper they brought him in to be. But I've been noticing he'll take a walk, get a little double or a single here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, he was at 204, batting average, but hey, the balls and strikes in the Major League Baseball are out of control. That was ball three. They called it a strike, but I'm ready for the robots.
What are we doing?
The problem.
I'm serious.
The problem you and I are going to have with Solaire is we made a bet. But he's also on my fantasy team.
Oh, boy.
So I'm not rooting against the guy. Yeah. I need the guy to produce.
You want it all to stay in the park. Yeah.
Go ahead and hit 29 homers and knock in 172 runs. He won't do that.
But Webb needs some run support. Let's see if they do it tonight.
Yeah, you just said something else that I wanted to do.
Solaire?
No, it was... oh, gosh, I can't believe it. It was good, though. It was good.
Mm-hmm. That's all I said was so late.
No, it was something else.
Run support for Webb.
Yeah, that was leading to it.
Balls and strikes.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Thank you, buddy. You're the man.
Yeah.
And of course, 2-0.
I'm losing it.
Madoni.
You know what? Sometimes I think of something, and I'm like, you know, Steiny, you're right. And then I think about it just a little longer, and I'm thinking, I think Willard said this a few days ago. And then I go, damn it.
He's in your dome.
No, he's right. They got to get the rectangle off the TV screen.
You think that has
Yes. Yes.
Dude, it's...
Get the rectangle off the TV screen.
I'm scared of Willard.
We didn't have these problems in 1993.
But it's out of control now.
What is? The
Richie
rectangle?
Richie from Queens saw the pitch, the 2-0 pitch that was a ball three, that one pitcher changing at bat. And even the batter looked... But, Stoney, it's just... I don't know what the umps are doing. Like, how has it
what
gotten
do you mean?
Worse?
It hasn't.
Everything is subjective.
I don't
it's
think
like,
it
dude,
has gotten worse.
You think that box has everybody screaming now?
You think so? You think when they didn't use a box, the umpires were better?
No, it's
like the box makes it clear exactly what they missed.
Well, Major
but when
League
Tom
Baseball
Glavin,
has a, yeah.
When Tom Glavin's an inch off the plate back in 1990, boy, did he paint the corner. Well, guess what? He probably didn't paint the corner, but he earned that pitch because he had such control.
What do we get in the NBA, the two-minute report?
That's another thing.
Baseball has the balls and strikes, and the average... balls and strikes, Donnie, this is the average, is 92%.
Okay.
Last night, the Cubs and Giants game, that was 87%. So there was a whole lot of miss. And it's just like Richie, he's rooting for the Giants, but you just can't ignore. Dude, you just rewarded Stoney a strike on a 2-0 pitch that would have been ball three, all hell could have broke loose.
I mean, this is where, like, I honestly, I don't want to hear it. It's like it's the...
But you blame it on the box.
It's stupid. It's stupid.
Well, all the announcers, radio, TV are doing it too now.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Stoney, did you see that? Oh, my God.
Well, because it's in your face.
Mm.
You think when... I mean, come on, guys. You think the umping is bad now? We didn't have the thing. Barry Bonds, he was too... Barry Bonds had a friendly strike zone. Well, yeah, that's baseball. They didn't have the box. So you really think the umps are worse now than they've ever been?
Yeah, balls and strikes are just idiotic. It's embarrassing sometimes.
So it wasn't as embarrassing back in 2000, but it was every bit as bad because you didn't know. I mean, you just didn't.
You blame it on technology.
I refuse to think that the umps are worse now, balls and strikes, than they were at any time in baseball history. It's like, well, you're measuring them in a way that umpires never got measured before.
Rest in peace, Eric Gregg.
And here's the other thing. it was the worst ump game of the year in, 87?
It was 87. Normally, it's not average is 92. It was 87.
Average is 92. 80, yeah. Man, that's pretty good to me. Mm-hmm. I think those are good percentages. Scott's in Hayward. What's up, Scotty? How you doing?
Gentlemen, great show as always. Got a little insight from a buddy of mine who is a minor league and youth umpire.
Sweet.
Who does just all the time he's out there. And I was screaming and crying about the strike zone this year. And we talked about the box. And here's the challenge with the box. The box is a 2D image. The strike zone is a 3D plane. So you've got the zone ending across the plane. And you can have a ball that looks like it's outside the box that then tucks in across the back of the plate. That's still a strike. And so what we're seeing on TV, a ball 3-4 inches outside of the zone, what we think is out of that box is actually slicing a little nip of that back of the plate, and the umpire's usually getting it right. Now, Goo's right. There's some egregiously bad calls, and some umpires do deserve a little, you know, what for just butchering it. But by and large, they get it right. It's a pretty high percentage. It's just, I agree with you, Steiny, that box is like the devil.
Yeah.
It's skewing people's opinion because it's a 2D image when what the umpire is judging is a 3D plane. That's all I got for you, gentlemen.
Well said, Scott. I appreciate the knowledge.
Yeah.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Goo, I do want to get into some NBA finals stuff with you. And
I'm
that
right
segment
here.
Was brought to you by Meineke Car Care Centers.